chapter 28, and we're going to pick up with lesson number 88 this morning. I was going to try to rush through these last 12 or 13 lessons so we could get done before the class takes a hiatus for a while, but I'm not going to do that. There's just the lesson that we have today. There's too much in it just to kind of brush over it and move on. It's a vitally important lesson. So, you know, when we get done, we'll get done, okay? And it's on the horizon. The light at the end of the tunnel is getting larger. The freight train is coming through, amen? So, last week we looked at lesson number 87. Living life wisely is learning the importance of good friends, the value of good friends. Don't forget that little lesson on iron. Iron sharpeneth iron. And the same iron that can be used to sharpen the edge of the axe can also dull the edge. It's up to me, it's up to you, to determine honestly the people that my associates, my friends, my companions, I must determine honestly those that put an edge on my life and those that dull my life, okay? And make sure that I get around people that put an edge on me, all right? I don't mean the kind of edge that's impatient and, you know, mean and ugly. I mean that sharpness, okay? That's an important lesson. Chapter 28 this week, new chapter in our Bible, new chapter in the book of Proverbs, verse number 9. Verse number 9, critical verse. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. That's 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Here's lesson 88. Living life wisely involves keeping a listening ear to the Word of God. Living life wisely involves keeping a listening ear to the Word of God. Now, let me begin this lesson by saying this. Prayer, don't forget this, folks. Prayer is a privilege and an opportunity for each one of us, for every child of God. I don't know if there's a greater opportunity in the Christian life than the opportunity of prayer. It really is. It's a magnificent opportunity. It's a great privilege that you and I can get on our knees or just drive down the road and enter into the spirit of prayer and actually talk to the God who created everything. I mean the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. I can talk to Him. Okay? I can't talk to George Bush. Okay? I can't talk to Bill Gates. I can't talk to some of the other humans on earth, but I can talk to God. I mean, that's absolutely incredible. Don't ever forget how important that is. The several invitations in the Bible concerning the prayer life of the believer. You got the invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy to help in time of need. That's a wonderful invitation. You have the invitation for every child of God to ask for wisdom. I mean, what an invitation. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Or do you ever need wisdom? When do you not need wisdom? At what age do you not need wisdom? You start out with those little kids, like that little boy's age I had in my arms just a few moments ago, 9 months of age. You look at them, you got to bring them up. That takes wisdom. Then you get to this age, and you got married kids, and they're looking to you sometimes for advice. And it takes wisdom. You never come to an age in life or a stage in life where you don't need wisdom. And we have the invitation. If you need wisdom, come and ask for it. And I'll give to all men liberally. What an incredible invitation. Then you got the invitation to let all your requests be made known unto God. What a great invitation in Philippians chapter 4. Let all your requests, not part of them, but all of them. So you got all these prayer invitations in the Word of God. You got the privilege of prayer. You got the opportunity of prayer for each one of us, okay? Now, I must understand, this verse teaches me that I can cancel out the impact of those opportunities by exhibiting a rebellious heart toward the principles, commandments, and truths of God's Word. I'm going to say that again. I can cancel out all the advantages of prayer if I exhibit a rebellious heart toward the Word of God, toward the commandments and so forth and all that in the Word of God. I have to be careful not to exhibit a hard heart toward those things. And if I do, I can cancel out all those privileges of prayer, all those opportunities of prayer. You see, friend, God places a very high premium on His Word. Now, do you know how high a premium he places upon his word? Well, the Bible tells us in Psalm 138, verse number 2, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Magnified thy word above all thy name. God has placed his word at a greater premium than his own name. Now, think about this for just a minute. I don't think there's a one of us in this room this morning that would consciously, purposely profane the name of God. We wouldn't do that. We might have done that before we got saved. But since we've been saved and brought up in a Christian home and saved at an early age in life, we just wouldn't profane the name of God. There's something about that name. It's holy, it's mighty, it's majestic. And boy, and like I said on Wednesday night, even if the name God reverenced that name, and you know, you wouldn't ever attach that to a profane word as God's people. But be careful about just throwing God's name around like the world does. You know, there's a better response to something that surprises you than "Oh God." There's a better way to respond, folks. Okay. Be careful of the terminology. Careful of the terminology, I swear to God. Just avoid all that, okay? Reverence his name. And I think you do. And I don't think there's any of us that would profane his name. But I must understand that to ignore the expectations of his word, to turn away from God's word, to exhibit a spirit of rebelliousness toward the word of God, is almost a greater sin than profaning his name. I mean, if it's a matter if it's a matter of degrees, you've got the word of God placed above the name of God. Well, if I won't profane his name because of how high and holy and lifted up his name is, then I wouldn't want to be foolish enough to ignore his word or be rebellious to his word because his word is exalted above his name. Does it make sense to you? Okay. If I'm in the army and I'm an enlisted man, I'm a whatever the bottom of the rung is, private. Okay. And I would be hesitant to strike a major because of his rank. How much more hesitant would I be to strike a general because of his rank? You see, so striking a major is going to bring some consequence to my life, right? Okay? Because of his rank. Well, striking a general, I mean the same type action, but against a general, is going to bring a different consequence, a more severe consequence. Am I right? Okay. And then you carry that through to the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States. You know what the consequence of striking him is? An Uzi unloaded in your carcass. You know, you're laying on the ground, you're gone. That's what the consequence of that is. Because the degree, the severity of punishment increases as you go up. You see what I'm saying? Same action, it just increases as you go up the ladder, if you will. So God says that, you know, he has taken, here's my name, God says. He said, "I place such a premium on my word that I have taken my word and I have exalted above my name." And people who would never profane the word of the name of God turn around and turn a deaf ear or a rebellious spirit to the word of God. And that doesn't make a lot of sense, folks. That doesn't make a lot of sense, especially in light of this verse right here, okay? When the Bible says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." Here, we must understand this today. How we hear the word of God is important to how God hears our prayers. Okay? How I hear his word is real important when it comes to how God's hearing my prayers. And I don't know about you, but I need him to hear my prayers. Okay? You know, I need him right now. There's some things that I'm asking for. He has not answered yet. I need him to answer those prayers. I need him to. Okay? So I'm really into this. I'm really interested in this. Because how I hear his word is going to be real important. Real is going to be a determining factor in how he hears my prayers. Okay? That's what this verse is teaching us here. The word hearing in this verse, if you'd like to make notes, it means to hear intelligently with attention and obedience. That's what the word hear means. It means to hear intelligently with attention and obedience. This involves far more than just listening to what the Word of God says. It involves listening with the intention of yielding. It involves listening with the intention of giving attention to what He said. That's what the word hear. It's not just listening, you know, for noise sake. Okay? Sometimes people do that around the house, you know. They'll put a CD on, put a tape on, turn the radio on, just for noise. You don't really listen to what it says. It's just background noise. Well, let me tell you something. The Word of God is not background noise. Okay? To hear correctly, to listen to correctly, I have to listen with the intention of obeying and giving attention to what God says. And how I do that determines on how much He listens to my prayer. Okay? You know, when I got into bow hunting years ago, 16 years ago, I learned how to hunt deer. And some good friends taught me how to do that. I'd hunt deer with shotgun, but it's different hunting deer with bow and arrow. Well, you know, I listened to what they had to say and put the things into practice, and it worked. When I went on that bear hunt, you know, it's a little bit different hunting bear than hunting deer. You make a move in the deer stand, the deer are going to go off. You make the wrong move in the bear stand, and bears can sense that as an act of aggression, they'll be up the tree and into your face in a split second. And that's true. They're so fast and so quick, it's unbelievable for big old animals like that. So, you know, Brian Sharp, Brother Sharp, I'm going with him, and he tells us in the truck on the way up there, he says, "Now, fellas," he said, "Saturday night, Brian Prudel's going to come down, and he's going to spend about an hour with us, and he's going to talk about bear hunting." Well, I'm going to tell you something. When Brian Prudel came down, the guy that owned the place there, the lodge, when he came down, I was listening. and I wasn't, you know, listening while I was doing something else. And I wasn't, you know, background noise. Man, I was soaking it in. I was on the edge of my seat. I was listening to every word he said about how that bear is going to come in, what you've got to do, what you can't do, what you don't want to do. It's wise to do this. It's foolish to do this. And I'm sitting there and I'm making mental notes. I am hearing what he is saying. I am listening with the intention of carrying it out. Are you with me? Okay, and you've been in the same, you know, remember how you're, when you're a new hire on the job, you know, and they're going to give you orientation? You don't just whistle your way through that. You pay attention, okay? You want to, you know, I remember when they did that at Thrall Cart, you know, they told us how to do stuff. I was listening with the intention of obeying. That is the word hear in verse number 9. Hear it. He that turneth his ear away from hearing. Listening with the intention of obeying. I've got to realize, you know, God is not, He's not interested in a one-way relationship. You know, God is not interested in just doing all the listening and me doing all the talking. And then when He wants to talk to me through His Word, I got better things to do. God's not interested in that. So He tied His interest in, listen to this, He tied His interest in our prayers to our interest in His Word. That's what He did. He said, "Now you take a deep interest in my word and you listen with the intention of obeying and getting something out of it. And when it's time to pray, I'm going to listen to you." That's what He said here. Okay. Now, this thing of turning away the ear from hearing the word of God and hearing the truth is characteristic even more so. It must have been in that day because He never would have put it there if it wasn't for that day. But it's even more so in this day. And the longer this thing goes before the rapture of Christ, the return of Christ in the air takes place, it's going to be an earmark of this generation. Okay? Hold your finger here and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you would. And we'll take look at a couple things here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Give you a second to find that. how we hear the Word of God, my interest in His Word, goes a long ways to determine His interest in my prayer. That's what I've got to understand with this thing. Okay, that's why I can't take the teaching and preaching and even my devotion time in God's Word. I can't take that lightly. I've got to be careful about that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and Paul here is talking about the last days to Timothy, his pastor, preacher boy. And he says in verse 3 and 4 here, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." So the temptation to turn away the ear from listening with the intention of obeying is characteristic of the last days. I see it every week. I see it every week. You know, you don't target people with messages. That's not the proper way to handle it. But you are aware of problems. You are aware of needs that people have. And you pray about it. Boy, if the Lord opens a door of liberty to prepare a message that addresses the need, you're really wanting people to listen. And I can't tell you how frustrating it is sometimes to know that it's not me, but in this book right here, the answer is in this book to meet that need. And the person that you're hoping gets it the most is in La La Land. I can't tell you how frustrating that is. Okay? You know, I can't tell you how frustrating that is. I can't tell you how many times in a counseling session, you know, the question will be something that I covered in a message 4 weeks earlier. Sometimes I just give them the copy of the CD. You heard this once, take it home, listen to it again. That's not being ugly. But that's what I'm saying. We got to be careful, okay? One of the characteristics of the last day is turning away your ear from hearing the truth. That's what Paul told Timothy. How I hear the truth goes a long way to how God hears me. You prayed any prayers for your children this week? You asked God for anything with your kids this week? You know? Well, how God hears our prayers is determined by how I hear His Word. God wants us to listen. Okay, look at several things here. Look at what He told Timothy. In verse number 2, He told Timothy the mandate Paul gave Timothy was to preach the Word. Preach the Word. That's the logos. That's the Greek word. That is this book right here, okay? This complete canon of Scripture. The Word of God. This is our text when it comes to preaching, okay? That's what Paul told Timothy to do. Don't run out and find some little magazine article. Don't find some little Ranger Rick thing from nature. Get into this book. Get some truth from this book right here and preach it. Okay? That's what he told Timothy to do. Preach the Word. Then look at this. Number 2, the time will come. It's not may come, but will come. That means it's going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Okay? That's what he said in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The time will come, Timothy, when the people you're preaching to, will not endure sound doctrine. Preaching that has some substance to it. Preaching that has some soundness to it. Preaching that rescues us from sin and shame and shipwreck. Preaching that enlightens us. Preaching that puts us on the right path. Preaching that places some demands upon us. Preaching that makes us accountable. People will say, I don't want that. And by the way, you want a definition of sound doctrine? That's what he said. Look at what he said there. He said they will not endure sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? Well, let the Bible speak for itself. Look at Titus chapter 2. Look at Titus chapter 2. If you ladies were in my wife's class last summer, she taught sound doctrine. She taught sound doctrine all summer to you ladies. Look at what it says in Titus chapter 2. Now, again, Titus is a pastor. He's pastoring on the island of Crete. He's got several churches that he's responsible for, okay? And look what he said in verse number 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Folks, he's talking to a pastor. This is what, this is interesting to me. This gets my attention, okay? When this book talks to husbands, it gets my attention. When it talks to dads, it gets my attention. When it talks to pastors, it gets my attention. So Titus, the preacher, the pastor of all those churches on the island of Crete, starting churches, he said, you speak, you preach the things that become sound doctrine. What's sound doctrine? Well, he identifies it. Verse 2, that the aged men be sober. That doesn't mean not drunk. Okay. It doesn't mean, okay. It's serious minded. Okay. Sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, sound in charity, sound in patience. I mean, buddies, things where we live. That's where we live every day, day in and day out, okay? Teach the men to behave that way. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Holy women. We don't want to hear... Men, women do not want to hear. Don't talk to me about being holy. Don't talk... That's old-fashioned. That's archaic. That's not relevant for today. I want to laugh. I want to be tickled. Don't talk to me about being holy. That's what makes sound doctrine. That's what he said, isn't it? Holiness. He said, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. These are the things that make up sound doctrine. This is what Paul told Timothy, people will not endure. They won't endure it. It's not that they can't endure it. It's not a can problem. It's a will problem. There's a big difference, isn't there? Not a can problem. It is a will problem. I don't want that. It's not that I can't understand it. It's not that I can't comprehend it. I don't want it. Don't talk to me about that. That's what he says will happen. Okay? Then he also says, rather than listen to a preacher proclaim sound doctrine, people will look for teachers who scratch their itches. You ever had an itch? You ever asked your husband or wife, scratch my back. Down, over, right, left, down, up. Oh, that's it. Oh, stay right, you know. You ever, one of the hardest, difficult things in the world is to get them to stay on that spot, you know. They want to wander off to the right, wander off to the left, you know, and, you know, just stay right there, okay? But this is what it says. Look at verse 4, or the end of verse 3. But after their own lust, after their own desires, after their own wants. Are you with me, verse 4? Verse 3? Shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? Scratch me. Here's what it says. People will seek for teachers who talk about things that they consider important. I don't want to come to listen to you tell me what God says is important. I want to go somewhere where I can hear what I think is important. What I want to hear. And they'll search and search and search with that itch until they find the guy that scratches it. That's what I've been wanting. That's what I've been waiting for. I don't want to be confronted with Bible truth. I don't want to be told how I should watch my entertainment. I don't want to be told about my television set. I don't want to be told about this. I don't want to be told about that. I don't want to be told about submitting to Him. I don't want to be put under that kind of pressure. I like this. Right there. You are exactly what I want. It's not a matter of what I want, people. It's a matter of what I need. We are stupid. We go to the doctor and want him. And don't tell me what I want to hear. Tell me what I need to hear. When it comes to church, oh no, we don't want that. Not when it comes to church. No, sir. I want a preacher who's going to, that's it. Where you been? I've been looking for you. Scratch it a little harder. That's what he's saying here. Okay? That's what people would have. Now, what he says here, verse number four, and here it is. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. Now, my opinion, We're living in a day and age of an abundance of back scratchers. They're everywhere. Everywhere. And they're putting up massive structures. I mean, I wish I had the advertisements, Brother Mike, from that new place in Elgin. Did y'all get those little postcards that new place mailed out? I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? Jason and Hannah got them, and she saved them for me, and I've lost them. I lost them. But, I mean, I can't remember all I said now, but, you know, come to the something espresso cafe and then rock out, you know. I mean, really, that's what it is. And then, it feels good. And end up in a place like that. I saw the signboard of what used to be an Independent Baptist Church this week down in Kankakee. You know, Contemporary Praise Service, PRAYZ. Praise. Live band. Let me tell you something. There is a style of preaching that goes along with that. Now, you can argue about that all day if you want to. And that style of ministry attracts a style person. It's, you know, come in my shorts, my flip-flops, do what I want, bring my rock and roll, my contemporary rock, just have a good time. Oh, man. Ah, boy, did I get scratched good this morning. Instead of, what happened to the old days of coming and saying, Lord, let him stomp on my toes today, man. Let the preacher take the plow and just come right by my fence post and just plow up my heart. This is characteristic of the last days. The characteristic is they'll turn away their ear from hearing the truth. Okay? I don't want that. I don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear the truth about rebellion. I remember years ago, Brother Gomez, when I first came here, he said, Brother Terry, he said, people will leave your church because of their teenagers. And they have. People don't want to hear the truth about teenagers. They want to be told about rebellion. They don't want to be told. This is where we are. We are in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, the danger of this thing is, folks, God said that the prayers of people who disregard His word are an abomination. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be there. Okay? I don't plan on, you know, disregarding His name. I don't plan on disregarding His word. God wants me. He wants you. He exhorts me. He exhorts you. He loves for us to come to Him in prayer. But you know what He wants? He wants a little give and take. I want to hear you. I want you to hear me. Are you with me this morning? And living life wisely never forgets that. Living life wisely understands how important it is for me to keep a listening ear to the Word of God. God is not interested in people who only want to talk and never listen. Okay? So, you know, don't forget that lesson this morning. That verse I came across years ago. I preached on it in church here in the pulpit, and I try to remember it. Say, how close do you live by it? Well, sometimes I fail. But that scares the life out of me. When I need to go to God and have Him hear me, let's see, how you been doing the last month in all those sermons you've heard? Do anything with them? Okay? So keep a wise eye and a good ear tuned in to the Word of God, okay? All right, next week we'll continue on with lesson number 89. We'll get through several more until the April 1st, all right? God bless you.